Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Everybody loves a lover. I'm a lover. Everybody loves me. Anyhow, that's how I feel. Wow, I feel just like a Pollyanna.
And Abby, I don't know. I mean, I need to have like a serious discussion about that woman who wrote Flights, because right before you texted me, Olga, somebody, right before you texted me about it, because you meant, okay, so you mentioned Flights in your text saying that you were getting read, it was on tap to read. And I was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, oh, maybe I need to give that author another chance. She has a new book that just came out, so I downloaded it on Audible. And then when you...
Well, no, you said when I said I was going to... When I mentioned that was up next, you said, yeah, there's some good stuff in there. Like, as a way to like... And I was like, that's a weird, non... fully committal way of like saying
it's not all disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel, you know what? It made me feel like I was maybe not intelligent enough to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. There are incredible pieces in there. I think just maybe where we're at right now.
I didn't know what she was talking about a lot of the time. Was that your experience?
It's just, I think the style is like, all these vignettes that sometimes weave in, but they might not weave in for like 100 pages. Mm-hmm. They might not weave back. I was just, I mean, during this quarantine time, I just don't think it was right for me. But
it's,
I mean, it won the Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to trust that it is a very well-written, really great book that I might not have.
Can I ask you right now?
I'm with you though.
But so this, I think, is something I've been noticing legitimately. The farther we get into short attention span and the information age and so forth, do you think? So all I know about this book is what I've heard from you two so far. So I don't know who the writer is, but it's this book that has vignettes that weave in sometimes, not for a long time, and it's called Flights, and it won the Nobel Prize. So something I've noticed, because we, Megan and I, often agree on what we enjoy, whether it's books we're reading or like shows or movies. But sometimes, for whatever subjective reason, you don't. Like, there's a character that rubs me the wrong way for very specific reasons that would never occur to Megan, and vice versa. Do you think, in the case of this book, because, like, for example, I love right now listening to books when I go running every day. So that's about 45 minutes of listening time. And, like, I just finished a novel, and I loved it. Richard Powers, who wrote The Overstory, which was a big hit, won the Pulitzer last year. His earlier novel called Galatea 2.2, And it occurred to me, though, there are times when storylines strike me in a way, and this is what I'm heading towards to posit to you two. Do you think in this day and age where we take everything by snippets, everything comes like the longest thing we can imagine is 2 hours of content. And so something like that, like a novel where a storyline weaves in after 100 pages, do you think that that experience suffers in the modern day because we consume everything in bite-sized pieces rather than like sit down and read this novel in a week? You know, that's the question.
I mean, it's interesting because it's, this book is kind of both those things, because it is these snippets. It's all about travel. And I guess I had a hard time figuring out like who exactly the narrator was, but it's all about like different travel experiences. So it is like these snips, and then you kind of are wanting that connection, the weaving in more. I don't know. I think that before all this, I was very much, my attention span was even, was worse. I was like, I was more like, I can't focus, or, and now I kind of want to be sucked into something for a long time. Like I want a series. Like I started The Sopranos again. I'm like, I want to be in this and to not think about any of this for a long time. Like, yeah. I don't want to go on my phone or switch. So I don't know if that's answering your question. I don't know.
It is kind of. I mean, I think there's a great quote that I'm going to paraphrase from a psychologist from the early 70s. That basically says a surplus of information, a surplus of stimulation creates a paucity of focus. And so that's what kind of what you're addressing is like, there's too much information, there's too many distractions. So please shut everything off so that I can zero in on this one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me with a book, it's still, depends on the book, the writing, you know, but I'd like a long book if it's a great story, great characters.
One of the cool things, Megan's a voracious reader and very discerning.
I know. She sent me back a list of like 30 books and I'm like, she's totally, I sent you like a recommendation.
She's like an English professor. Yeah. But the cool thing for me is she gave me that book Flights, and she dog-eared, but looked about 20 or 30 pages, and she said, just read, there's some good stuff in there, just hit these pages. So I
just
get
a couple of paragraphs. I
get all the chat.
She has her own cliff notes.
Yeah. I cliff noted it for him. yeah. So let me just do a brief intro for our dear listeners. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of your favorite podcast, In Bed with Nick and Megan, starring my favorite husband, Nick Offerman, and his wife, me, Megan Mullally. And today, special guest starring Abby Jacobson. All right, we've already been chatting. We're talking about books.
Yeah, that was a sweet cold open.
That was a good cold opes. So, Abelstein, I loved your book. Speaking of books,
thanks. That was so. I think about our night together because
me too.
I don't know if we should, but you know why?
Yeah, I think we can. Yeah. Look, I mean, come on.
No
we
felonies
can.
Were committed.
It's
that
fine.
Night.
I mean, look, everybody was really well intentioned.
Yes, it was just funny.
Yeah,
yes.
There was a book event that Abby had asked me to moderate, which was really cool and nice because I loved her book so much. And it was interesting. Let's just leave it at that, right? I mean, there's some real personalities. Like, we could so easily make an indie movie out of that.
Oh my God.
Out of those characters.
I mean, I'm writing it. It's up on my board. No, I'm kidding. No, it's interesting. I'm sure you guys experience this all the time. It's just sort of like a, it, like I had gone on a book tour for that book and I'd been on like Alana and I did a Broad City tour a long time ago, but I'm not a stand up. I'm not a musician, but like those are my tour experiences. I've done enough shows to know like kind of the hosts or the venue managers or the way you're going to be announced is kind of a hilarious specific of that world that yeah. is a whole, it's ripe, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that, I guess we could say that I don't feel like the ladies in charge of this thing had much confidence in our being able to like pull this off on our own. I think they thought
they
it was like our first time
about
out
us talking alone on stage together.
Yeah. They did not want that to happen.
It also, I mean, I felt like it was the beginning of a new, it was a venue that was sort of beginning a new sort of series of
yes.
entertainment evenings. And so I think there was also a lot of self-imposed pressure with these characters administrating the venue that were like, okay, everybody, like even just me as a guest.
You were nervous.
Yeah.
They had like a fleet. They had a platoon of security people to like get me to my seat and get me back out. And everybody's on walkie talkies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an auditorium, all right. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's a book event. It wasn't, you yeah. know, we're not the Rolling Stones.
No.
Speaking of the Rolling Stones, did you see any of that huge televised thing the other night with all the like Lady Gaga and everybody?
No, I guess I could have found it online. I have a TV and I have TV, like I have Spectrum, but for some reason I can't figure out how to watch like live programming.
Oh, just regular. No. Yeah.
It's really clearly it's just me here.
All right.
And I have an Apple TV. Everything is like, I can do all that. There's something mm-hmm. about like the basics I can't figure out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's always something. Well, yeah. I guess the reason I brought it up was because I said something about the Rolling Stones and they did this live version of, they had four screens and, you know, it was Mick Jagger and I don't even know who they all are.
Keith Richards.
That's good.
Yeah, and the others.
Right. I did see a picture and the drummer was like on books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a picture.
It was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, they were great.
Mick Jagger's voice is insane. I mean, he sounds as good as he ever did.
I gotta watch it. I'm sure it's like recorded.
It's on
right?
YouTube. It's on, sure. Some, just songs on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
He sounds so good though. And my friend, a friend of mine had told me about it just earlier that day. And I thought, yeah, well, I'll never see it, but thanks. And we got home and just turned on the TV and it was literally like 1 minute before they
Ladies
came
and
on.
Gentlemen, the Rolling Stones.
You're like,
oh. Yeah. I thought, well, I should at least try. And then they came right on. But yeah, it was good.
I didn't mention this at the time, P.S., but I think, I'm going to have to get to the bottom of this, but I think the drummer was playing those digital drumsticks where you program the noise they make based on where you hit.
Yeah, drum machine.
Because
yeah.
I was
drum
like,
pad.
What's going on? He's
there
playing
was no
like
cymbal.
Stacks of books.
Right.
Yeah, I've been in relationships with some drummers, so I know all about that kind
of
stuff.
Yo, I'm
it
more
wouldn't
of a
be
percussionist.
I wouldn't be like, you know, rushing out to recommend everyone date drummers. I guess it depends on the drummer because, you know, the drummer in Nancy and Beth, Joe Berardi, lovely fellow, but
and,
I didn't date
and
him.
Love Machine.
See, I picked the wrong drummers.
Right.
My dad is a drummer.
Your dad's a drummer?
I mean, like, that's not his career.
Uh-huh.
But he had a band when I was growing up that was called Second Chance, and it was his high school band, and they were like doing it again, and
Second Chance.
And like, they had a tape, and he would play bars in the town I grew up in. The big show was he played the top of the you know, I'm from Philly, and he played the top of the steps at the art museum, like the Rocky steps.
Hell yeah.
But it was during the day. It's kind of like a family event.
Yeah,
but sure. I remember it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Wait, right, and your mom had a store. What was the name of the store?
My mom, it wasn't a store. I mean, it was in my basement. She sold party favors for a while to like kids' parties. It was called Do Me a Favor. The names were like pretty great.
Second Chance and Do Me a Favor. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on. Forgot about
I love that. That was in your book, right?
Yeah, I was like, good memory. I was like, how do you know that?
I read your book twice.
Wow.
Oh my God. Thanks. I really loved it.
More than anyone else.
And I kept it in my special bookcase because I have limited space and it's in the permanent collection.
Wow. I'm honored. Thank you.
That's kind of a big deal. Big deal to me, not to anybody else. Let me clarify. Abs. I have a lot of nicknames for you suddenly. Abs. Do you have anything in particular you'd like to discuss today, or should we just freeball it?
I mean, I feel like we should freeball it. I don't know. I don't think I'm not bringing anything in particular.
Yeah, we're halfway into the episode anyway, so why start now? You are quite the little go-getter, and I love that because I'm older than you, just a year or two. Yeah. And for some reason, my particular, I just missed by about 12 years. I missed the generation of being able to credibly pitch and produce and spearhead your own projects. I could do it now if I wanted to, but what I'm saying is I wasn't able to do that when I was, you know, young, like you are. And so I think it's so cool when, you know, my friends like you have so many things going on and you're so enterprising and you're so good at, you're a great writer, but also you're really good at that stuff. And you and Ilana, you did that show. How old were you when you started that show? That's insane.
We started the web series. I was 25.
Okay.
And Ilana, I knew Ilana since I was like 22.
Mm-hmm.
And we did improv together for a couple years. So such a bummer. On a side note, I'm like a little late to finding out like UCB is closing.
That's so weird. That flashed through my mind because I was thinking of UCB and Largo, and I was thinking, are these great?
At least, I don't know about LA, but New York, which is like where that's like.
I read an article a few weeks ago about how they were in a lot of trouble. Like they couldn't pay anybody, and you know.
So like any venue, listener, I guess, but it's just so, just saw that, but. Yeah. Like
Let me just explain. Dear listener, UCB is Upright Citizens Brigade, and it's a venue that started in New York, and now they have a UCB here in Los Angeles, and it's an improv and sketch comedy venue, and it's been the sort of jumping off point, breeding ground for so many incredibly talented people like Abby Jacobson and many, many others. It was founded by Amy Poehler and Matt Besser and who else?
Ian Roberts and
Matt Walsh.
Matt TBD. Walsh.
Oh, Matt Walsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that, and then there's a venue here in town called Largo that same, a lot of people have come out of there, you know, like Jack Black and Tenacious D, Sarah Silverman, Tig Notaro. I mean, so many great, you know, musical acts and comedy. And
that kid, Zach Galifianakis.
That kid.
Is that doing, is Largo okay?
Well, we
I mean,
know,
everywhere's
we don't know.
Not okay.
I mean, I think it's okay for now, but I mean, it's not great. So
yeah.
I just hope that it, that, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, any place that has like a shoestring budget, that depends entirely on putting a small crowd of people together every night, you know, and do the math.
And just like New York, like real estate, that the rent and all that, like the school, there's like a lot of properties they had going. And I'm also not the most informed to even talk about them closing. I just sort of like saw it and I was, but it just is so upsetting. It's like where I met, you know, everyone I would work with, or it's where it all started. But I don't remember what your original. We didn't like the first season of the show aired when I was 30. So we like went and pitched it when I was like 27. That was like the first time I really came out here to LA. And yeah, it did still feel like, I remember when we would pitch it, it was like there could only be one show that was like a female driven, like female creator show. Like, you know, Girls was first season of HBO and they were like, well, we have Girls. And like Fox was like, well, we have New Girl. And it was just like a very like, okay, like, great. Yeah. What?
There but can't it, be other girls.
I think it's way different landscape now. I think there are still, unfortunately, a lot of those obstacles, but it was still very limiting and felt like, I mean, Amy Poehler was with us. That was a huge, to have her with us while we were taking that out was like a game changer. So, yeah.
but, you know, it's so nice to have that, that experience already, and then to be able to kind of continue on and create more shows and create shows for other people. And yeah, I know it's hard, but.
Yeah, like it's weird now, or not weird, but it's just like, it's an interesting, all the pandemic stuff aside, because that is a whole other like reality, you know, but before that, you know, it's been like a year since Broad City stopped airing. And it has, you know, been just like this new thing of like, well, what can, like nothing is like gone yet, but it is a lot of like plate spinning, trying to keep stuff going and see what sticks. And I guess we'll see. I'm trying to do those things you said, create new things for myself and other voices, like help other voices kind of find their footing, but we'll see.
I guess I'm pitching myself is what's happening right now. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So Nick, if you had the opportunity to ask your dream question to Abby Jacobson, what would it be?
Oh gosh.
There's so many.
I mean, what do you consider, what do you put on the perfect Philly cheesesteak?
I don't eat meat.
Ever?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that my family doesn't understand. Because I'm from Philly. So yeah, I think I used to eat meat as a kid, and then around like 10 or 11, I was like, I don't like beef. And I just like, I've never had a hamburger, which is like truly people like really don't like that fact, or they're upset about it. And they always want to tell me where the best one is.
Well, it's been great having you.
Yeah.
Nick doesn't know what to do now.
Yeah, I never had it.
She's shaking.
I will say, like, I used to go to a lot of concerts in high school I'm from, like, right outside Philly, and, you know, all the venues were downtown. And then afterwards, all my friends would want to go to one of the cheesesteak places, and one of them is called Jim's on South Street in Philly.
Sure. Yeah.
Lying around the corner, like, every night. And I remember we went in there, and I think usually I wouldn't even... like, I'm not even going to order anything in here. But I was like, oh, I guess, like, waiting in line for so long, I finally get up to the counter. And I was like, I guess I'll have the veggie. And it was like, stuff. It was like the whole organization. They're all like, you know, doing the thing. The whole thing stops and they're like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then I get it. It's a fucking, you know, the like really, the bread is so good, but it was like bread with onions and ketchup.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, fuck you guys. That don't want, like, come
that
on.
Was yeah. what it, no that was all it was.
There. Yeah.
That's not cool.
No, so I
it
learned
was
my lesson.
Just onions and ketchup was the whole thing.
That used, it used yeah. to be a thing. I mean, you know, yeah. and I mean, for the record, people often conflate. This is something about Ron Swanson and Parks and Recreation that people conflate with me, where they. People have said to me, like after my touring shows, they'll come up to me and say, my wife really wanted to meet you, but she was scared to because she's a vegetarian and she thought you would like punch her. And I was, and I'd be like, no, fucking eat whatever you want, man. Like, who could you like?
Yeah.
I applaud you for, you know, healthy, conscientious eating of any sort. Don't be stupid. But the thing is, there was a time not that long ago where almost anywhere you went, the veggie option would be a total fuck you. It'd be
a total
like, oh,
fuck you. Like, I guess
here's
we'll
a couple
just
saltines
look around
and
see
a pack
what,
of mustard.
It's yeah. truly like they open up like cabinets and find like dusty shit that's like, maybe this will work.
You like pinto beans?
Yeah. Dry, like non-cooked. Yeah. This is reminding me, and I'm like revealing more in this story, but every once in a while, I'll pop onto like a dating app to like see how terrible it is. like even worse than I thought it would be. And then I'll be upset about it. But I remember recently it was something so interesting. There was a person on there and they were like, no vegans, not dating me, no vegans allowed. And I was like, what the fuck kind of
what?
Limitation? Like, why set like just the, like someone being a vegan is like unattractive, which is like set
that's
some Trump
so
shit.
Weird.
I think it's all wrapped up in like
yeah.
I don't know
that even factor into your
people have strong
preferences.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was gonna ask you about that though, because as a single lady,
oh yes, that's why I like to call myself a single lady.
I mean, you know, it's interesting though, because I have so many single female friends, and when this, you know, when the whole virus thing started getting crazy, I thought, how are these people, you know, how are these single women gonna be doing it? Everybody seems like they're doing great.
Yeah, I mean, I think if any, you were so sweet and like reach out to me and check in. I really appreciate it. No, I mean, I think if anything, maybe single women and single people in general are a little bit more equipped during this, because we're like, I go through like ups and downs of being like, what am I so upset about? There wasn't anyone here before.
Right.
Like, it's not like the virus happened and someone was like, bye, you're on your own, bitch. Like, I'm like, I guess this was like the same, but it is, you know, the longer it goes, it's a little like, okay, you're just not it is very different. But I think in a way we maybe are more used to the, I don't know. I'm trying to. Like, make it okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But basically, you're doing, you know, all right. I mean, it is, you know, it is weird because doing this podcast and, you know, we're sitting here and like, oh, you know, what are you watching? And what are you, and there, that's fine because everything is relative. But, you know, I just want to remind our audience that we do understand that we are pretty lucky because America is kind of divided into two parts right now. And there are those of us who are on Zoom podcasts and those of us who can't, you know, buy food. So
yeah. And or they're are working like their job now, maybe even more the job that like doesn't pay them enough more than they used to, where it's like they're in more it just, yeah, that stress, I feel so like privileged to my, constant checking of like, of oneself, I think right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, sometimes, and I'm not even talking to you, but just in other podcasts we've done, we, you know, you could kind of lose sight. It could sound like we're just, you know, here like talking about our jigsaw puzzles and completely unmindful of what's going on. But that's not true. It's just that, you know, everything is pretty relative in that regard. Our day-to-day is different. Yeah.
And I think people also want to listen to stuff. Like, I've listened to a couple while this was going on of yours, and I love the balance of like, I do want to know what everyone else is doing right now. Mm-hmm. But also, it's okay to talk about the like stupid shit we're doing, because you also want to be entertained and not constantly thinking about, you know, like the direness. At least that's
Yeah, you have to limit the news intake.
I'm loving this, this headset, this... Yeah. Really high up.
He's rocking a Bose.
It's quite high.
We lack our setup here that doesn't allow us to hear each other. So if I go all the way on, then I can't hear Megan well enough.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
But we're going to fix it.
Is that why you've been wearing those just around the house like all day?
No, I mean, I'm a podcaster now, honey. Yeah. I mean, it's my thing.
Okay, because you just said, okay, never mind. So Abby, though, I do want to talk about computer, online dating, because I feel like if I had been single, and I'm really glad that I'm not. But so I close. Feel like I would have been, you know, tempted to do that, because I think it's kind of interesting, because it's sort of like, I mean, I do believe in synchronicity. So I feel like you're probably just as likely to meet somebody in that context as in a, you know, more conventional context, or what used to be a conventional one.
Yeah, like I used to be very much like, I don't want to meet someone that way. I want to meet someone organically or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's so much a part of how people date, I think. I'm not even talking about me. I just think like the general public, that's just like mm-hmm. how we operate. We're just like, that's a way to look. I kind of just do it every once in a while as a way, it makes me feel like I'm being proactive, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you two both, you guys have been together for a while. So I don't know if you experienced this. And yeah, only 20 years. Yeah. So I wonder, and you were both in the midst of like your careers when you started dating. So I don't know. Like, I guess this is such a douchey thing to say, and I'm going to say it because I'm looking at you and forgetting about the fact that it's being recorded and put on something. But I guess that I do have a little bit of an insecurity dating now where, oh, I'm like, well, people like know me or like that thing that is.
That's not douchey. It's your situation. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That's
like it's a thing I think about a lot, and I think I have to let it go to actually put myself out there. But it's something that is very much on my mind whenever I'm dating, especially someone, if I'm dating someone not in the industry, I'm like, you know,
it's boring.
It's a lot.
It's boring when they're not in the industry, unfortunately.
No, but like, but so that is like the online dating, like I sort of let go of like, who gives a shit if they know like the show or not? It's like, whatever. And it's kind of just like a fun way to be like, what's going on out there? Whether, especially now, I'm like, I'm not going to meet up with anybody. What am I even like window shopping for? But
well, you know, okay, if it helps at all, when Nick and I met, I was in between the second and third season of Will and Grace, and about 6 months out from winning an Emmy, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's where I was at. Nick was penniless, sleeping in an unfinished basement where he would just, if he had to pee, he would just roll off the couch and go over into a corner and pee on the dirt floor.
And roll off my Love sleeping
this.
Log.
And he had...
I do know all this. Was, this is all in your book, but I do know...
He was driving a faded out, rusted out, red convertible from the...
Chevy another, Cavalier convertible.
What year was it?
It was probably about 89 or 90.
And this was in 2000. It was a real beater. And he also had frosted hair.
Love it. Love
and
that.
Yet... Here we are today. So, you know,
there is hope.
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
You know, I just.
Yeah.
Wait. Are you saying that like it's a bad thing?
No, honey.
No, I didn't get that. Yeah. I didn't get that.
So that was our situation. And I still gave Megan a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You still gave me a chance.
And here we are.
I mean, I had to work for it. Believe me.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
I do love, like, I can't remember the exact detail, but like, didn't you guys like not kiss or maybe just
I wouldn't
for,
let
like,
him
a long time?
Yeah, I wouldn't let him do anything,
which is so
to my body.
In, like, what an incredible, like, wow, that's a for a long time, right?
Well, now he will.
We
you
still
know,
haven't consummated yeah. oh, our
think
oh,
about wow. think That's, about the okay. description I just rolled
right,
out
right.
for you, and then it kind of takes some of the mystery out of that. But yeah,
I
would not let
out.
Him. I wouldn't let him touch my body or my mind or my soul for quite a while. But you know, he eventually he was, you know, he has stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah, I see that.
That's what they used to say. Back in the 50s.
I'm stubborn.
He's got it.
I once bought what I was told was a small brick of hashish on South Street.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember if we talked about this. I spent a half a year living in Malvern.
We have not. That's very close to where I'm from. I'm from Wayne.
You a mainline kid?
Yeah.
Look,
wait, I'm
wondering,
lost. How did we get from us not having
He went back to the cheesecake
to...
story.
Because okay.
I think he didn't want right. to talk about...
They missed a segue there.
His car.
Are we talking about Philadelphia its environs?
It was a Philly thing.
Okay.
You want to get to this neighborhood, you head up past the Schuylkill.
Okay. All right.
It was 1991 or 2. And there was a thing in Philly called the Festival Mythos, or the Mythos Festival.
Mythos.
And I was. This is a nutshell. I'll wrap this tangent up quickly. I was in a kabuki play, a kabuki adaptation of the Iliad called Kabuki Achilles. And we did it at the People's Light and Theater Company.
I know the fucking People's Light and Theater Company. I almost said it. I almost said it. Like, I was like, there, it has to have been there, because that was like a true, a beautiful, like incredible theater. Kind of like, I was always like, why is it here? Because it, like, I always went into Philly for like culture like that. And it was this really, it still is there. I wonder how they're doing through all this, but, yeah, I used to go there as a kid. That was like the only like legit playhouse near me.
It was a great company. And we subsisted on, it was like a basement dwelling experience. There was a Yingling brewery,
yep.
And we would get their, like, you know, their B grade 16 ounce bottles with no label. And there was a Pepperidge Farms like outlet store where when the expiration date hit, you could go buy like mint Milanos for a dollar. So we lived
and now we're married.
Pepperidge Farms, yeah. And Yingling.
Okay, that sounds and here we Philly. Are.
Yeah, this is career advice that we're doling out here.
Yeah.
I'm lost. So you know what I wanted to what I wanted to say though is you said earlier you were watching The Sopranos. I can't say it's an epidemic because we're in a pandemic and that's not funny anymore. It's sweeping the nation because you are now the seventh one of my friends who has said that they started The Sopranos from the beginning.
I mean, I've seen it all already.
Oh, you've seen it?
I've seen it all.
Rewatching it.
I watched it. I got it when like Netflix, you remember like the discs? I didn't have HBO as a kid. And then when it came out, I would get it like in like, you would get three discs at a time from Netflix when it first started. And it would be like, you know, how many episodes is that of The Sopranos? But that's when I watched it. So probably around like 2006, but I haven't seen it since. And I was actually watching The Leftovers before this. And I was like, I can't watch this right now.
Right now, like, yeah, that was our favorite show, but right now it's rough, yeah.
It's just, and it took me a while actually to get through season one of that because it was like, if I was depressed at all, I was like, this is just not good for me. So I had to switch over, and The Sopranos is just like, I don't know, I'm like, I could dive right in there.
I want to rewatch The Sopranos.
I mean, the pilot is like, I guess I'm working on a lot of pilots right now. It's pretty perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I just want to put in a good word for The Leftovers, because in some future happy, shiny time when everybody's fine again, go back and watch it, because the second and third seasons are completely unbelievable.
I know, that's what my friends have said. They were like, my favorite show is 6 Feet Under.
That was our favorite show before The Leftovers. We still love it.
Oh, so that's what a lot of my friends, like Darcy, who you know, they're all like, no, The Leftovers.
Oh,
and
wow.
I haven't rewatched, I've rewatched 6 Feet Under, like I've watched the whole series twice, but I'm like saving that. I can't rewatch it again. I need it to like be longer. I don't know. Yeah.
That finale of 6 Feet Under is beyond. I couldn't delete it from our TiVo. I never did. We just moved and we got a different television. I could never delete it.
I know.
For years and years.
So good.
Oh, man. So good. I was thinking about rewatching that one too. Oh, gosh. There's a lot of time on our hands. We started watching, at the recommendation of Catherine Hahn, we started watching a reality competition show called Alone. That's on the History Channel, but it's you know, we're getting it on Amazon, and it's really good.
Wait,
it's
is it about
like a Naked and Afraid-ish kind of a premise, except they're not naked and they're alone, and they're just in the middle of, I mean, this season, we're on the sixth season now. So this is what we've been doing. This season is in Antarctic, the Arctic.
Wow.
Yeah,
so they're Canada. Not fucking around with the locations, and they're bears and cougars. And I mean, there's, it's crazy. This is a rough season though, because in other seasons, it was mostly just fishing for survival. And this season they cast all these hunters. And so everybody's really killing mammals, and they're very unsparing with their documenting of every step of like skinning the animal and gutting it. And ugh, so I can't watch it.
It's like legit survivalist versus like it's naked all and survival, afraid, which it's is all, sort of like what's
yeah,
happening?
It's like professional survivalist, gotcha, but it's gotcha. Sort of interesting because this may surprise you, but I'm not a survivalist. And so, not professionally. And so I didn't know about any of the stuff that Nick could speak more eloquently to. But there is some really, I like the shelter building and all
bushcraft.
The engineering. Bushcraft.
Do you think you could, Nick, do you think you could do it?
He's dying to go on the show.
I could
now.
Do, here's what I would, I'd be good at building shelter, making fire, and fishing. Those things, I'm ready. I would need a much better education in, one thing that really helps people on the show is if they know the flora, the local plants.
What to eat. And
provides their vitamins and nutrients and so forth. And also, if I was in a location where I was called upon to hunt, I would need some education in that because I have a lot of experience fishing, but I mean the thing that I think is a brilliant stroke about the show is that they give each contestant a camera package. They give them like three or four different cameras, train them. So they literally are alone. They're shooting themselves.
Oh. Wow,
so
this is a lot of responsibility. They're like the crew too. While
people
they're like trying to survive. They're
people
like
people are like shooting a moose with a bow and arrow and then holding a camera and like running across to find the no, it's crazy. It's completely insane.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
And frankly, they're really impressive on this season where they're living on mammals more. I keep saying men and women alike, they'll set up a tripod, they'll set up a wide shot, and then they'll fucking shoot a squirrel out of a tree like 30, 40 yards away with a bow and arrow.
These people act like,
wow.
I mean,
and they're like, hey,
crazy.
I got it.
I have no skill set in that. Nothing.
No, I have absolutely zero interest.
My grandfather, and I, this isn't a thing I like, part of it, my grandfather was a hunter. Like, he owned an Army and Navy store in New Jersey would, like, go hunting in, like, Alaska.
Oh, gosh. It takes a
different breed.
Like, deer
and, like, bear and stuff, which is...
Was he real manly?
Like, it wasn't like this macho thing. He like grew up really poor and like stumbled into that business.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he was he military?
He was in the army in like Newfoundland. It wasn't like combat. I think it was more like, it was a place that people bought guns in Jersey, but I think it was more actual hunters, like licensed hunting guns, but,
I mean, in this time when we could go to the store and buy food, I just don't understand. I'm surprised that that's even legal, really. I think it's pretty
weird. Well, there's a spectrum of morality to it. If you live in an area where in most of the country, there's too many deer.
Right.
And you can supply your family with venison for much less money than a grocery store will ever charge you.
I'm doing a big eye roll over here, but you're not going to be able to see that on the podcast.
I mean, I see both ways where I am like in certain parts of the country, I'm like, if that's how if you're using the whole animal and you're really cognizant of that, but just to hunt, to like get a shot and like,
well,
whatever.
That's,
yeah.
the other end of the spectrum, I think, is one of the douchiest things you can do as a human, and that is like trophy hunting. That's right. It's like, that's the machismo. That's just the biggest douchebaggery of like, and it ties into people that are like, I need to have this assault rifle because, right, you know, I love to go kill predators for fun. That, I think, is something we can leave in our history.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this show, though, I think my favorite part of it is that a lot of the people are there. Some of the guys are there because they want to prove, you know, what big swinging dicks they are. But most of the people are there because they want to go through something that will turn them into better people who've experienced something that can somehow help them, you know.
It's definitely like you're going to go into, you're going to have an experience, which,
yeah,
with
yeah,
your survivalist, you're probably itching for that kind of a thing all the time, right?
Something transformative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there are a lot of women on the show, which I think is really cool. Like there have been more as it goes along. There weren't any the first season, but then there have been more and more as it goes along. And the women to me are the most interesting because they also have to hunt and fish, but they do it in a little different way. Like a lot of the guys, if they kill something, will literally stand in the woods and go, ah, and like scream like fucking psycho, like serial killers for 10 minutes. It's really weird. And they get like really pumped up and hyper and like freaked out and they bare their teeth. It's really scary. But the women don't really do that, strangely enough. And also the women tend to, and many of the men too, build really amazing shelters, like very glamping level shelters. And they make chairs to sit on and they make all kinds of, you know, they make a kitchen basically. I mean, it's kind of amazing I think
I've thought about this before, weirdly, when I've just been in like my back patio. I think I could make like if somehow something happened and like I was out in the wilderness without shoes, I think I could like fashion shoes or like I can like make stuff, but like not like Nick, I couldn't like build like wood, but I could like get, I could like fashion stuff, I think.
That makes sense.
Shoes.
Talking to Abby Jacobson, I knew we were going to end up talking about survival, surviving in the wilderness. I knew it. I mean, it's the obvious thing that's going to come up.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic shoes.
Well, I am reading, Megan, I think I told you this. My dad sent me these two novels by Octavia Butler, she's this incredible writer, science fiction writer. And I had read a short story of hers, but never really gotten into like the meat of her work. And I'm reading this Parable of the Sower, and I'm like, he didn't even read it yet. He sent me this double feature of these novels, and I'm like, Dad, this is so fucking scary. Why are you sending this to me right now? It's about like L.A. in 2026, not that far away. She wrote it in like 93, and it's about like, everyone's armed. Shoes are the most important. Water is like gold. Like, I'm like, we're not that far. Like, but I'm really into it. It's really good.
Is it good? I think I'm going to get it on Audible.
Yeah. I haven't listened to a lot of fiction, but it's real. Yeah. It is a little scary though. I'm like, we're not like just, it would only take like something to happen that we would turn into that kind of.
Yeah, but, or we wake up tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, God so only knows I've been thinking what. About the shoes, I guess. I don't know why.
So you really did have surviving in the wilderness on your mind.
Yeah.
I was just kidding.
I don't know why. I'm reading it right before I go to bed every night. Like, it's not the right mode, you know.
Abby, it's so fun to talk to you.
You
and
too,
you really
guys.
Do. You look so pretty.
Thanks.
Something's going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'll take it. Good. I have good light on me here.
Yeah, she's got, well, I don't know. You look really good.
You are presenting very well. I say that
presenting.
Platonically.
I don't know if you've seen me since I had I dyed my hair for that show. Maybe that's it.
Well, I do really like the little bit lighter hair color.
Yeah, I never dyed it before.
It's really pretty. Oh, it's nice.
Thanks. Yeah, it looks very good. LA, right?
Yeah, but your skin looks pretty too. Skin, glasses,
wow.
Hair.
Look at
I don't
this.
Know. She's
guys.
Looks pretty. Nope. I don't know.
You're checking all of this podcast's boxes.
Okay, I'll take it. I will take it.
Thank you so much for coming on. And dear listener, thank you for coming on with your ears. This has been another installment of In Bed with Nick and Megan. Good night.
Good night.
In Bed with Nick and Megan is an Earwolf production. It's produced by Megan Mullally, Kevin Bartelt, and Michael Landry. Executive produced by Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon. Music by Nancy and Beth, which can be found at www.nancyandbeth.com. If you enjoyed In Bed with Nick and Megan, make sure to rate it and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.